to the fountain and you can be satisfied. There is a peace, there is a love you can get lost inside. Come to the fountain and let me hear you testify. Into the wild canyons of
morning. I think when I first started making the slideshow, I had about 500 or 600 pictures in there. We would have been still going for a little while yet. So, but if you do want to see more pictures, there's an album for every week on Facebook, so you can go on there and check out. There's a lot more pictures. I tried to do my best, John, and take pictures all the time. Matthew said it. We're supposed to party. I don't know. I got the wrong guy up here. If we're supposed to party, made me a little nervous there. Anyway, I'm glad to be here this morning. It's exciting to come and represent camp. It's also a little bit nerve wracking sometimes. Matthew talked about it being Pastor Appreciation Month, and I think. Doing this, being up here speaking, gives you a whole new appreciation for what a pastor has to do on a weekly basis. Preparing a sermon is not something, not for me, it doesn't come easy. I really struggled preparing for this morning and for doing this time. Last time it came a lot easier, but this time I really struggled with, am I saying what I should say? Or, you know, I think I rewrote part of it like 15 times. And it wasn't until yesterday morning when I talked to one of our pastors at our church, and he just gave me, and it really helped me. And then it kind of came together a little bit. So I'm going to start with talking about camp, and then I'll go into a little bit of a short sermon. And the summer went really fast. It seemed like it just started and then it was done. But it was a really great year at camp. I know in the past they've kept track of the number of kids that gave their lives to Christ, and for whatever reason that doesn't really happen as much anymore. We don't have a recording of that. But I know every single week they heard the message of Christ and the need for Christ in their lives. Before I get too far, I just want to take a bit of time to thank a few people. Just that pretty important part of camp. I'd like to thank my wife. It's always a little bit harder. And my daughter. They have to give up their whole summer to be up there with me. And Becky also had the extremely difficult challenge of working in the same office as me all summer, so a pretty tough job. I also want to give credit to John and Cherry. They've been a great support. They're always willing to help us out. It's a new role, right? And I spent a lot of time on the phone with John leading up to the summer months there, and just, like, what do I do, John? Like, you know, what's going on here? So I really am thankful for them. And also I want to thank the camp board. It is a real privilege to work with a board who have the same heart and in a similar purpose. You know, it's not about the numbers, not about the money, or how fancy your, you know, camp is, but the whole board is focused on spreading the good news of salvation to the kids in our community. And it's really encouraging and makes my role at camp so much easier. So, like I mentioned when I was here in the spring, this position has been a steep learning curve for me. The camping year got off to a rough start way before campers even arrived. I think we're all aware of the fire and how precariously close it got to camp. That was a pretty helpless feeling, hearing all the updates and not being able to do anything. Not that there was anything that I could have done to stop the fire, but wanted to try to do something. It was kind of the beginning of God showing me that he is in control. I can tell you that I spent a lot of hours that week in prayer over the fire. Also, another trying time was when Cassidy Schroeder was attacked by the bear at the Northwest Family Camp. It was a scary time for the people at that church and people involved in that, and it was difficult from a camp perspective as well. But God, again, showed his provision throughout that time. Now, when I was here in the spring, I talked about how glad I was that Agnes was coming back to be our head cook, and, you know, that just really settled me down, knowing that, you know, someone in a position like that was coming back. It wasn't going to be someone new. But in May, I kind of got wind or word that her health wasn't doing so good and that she might not be able to come back. And then one evening, close to the end of May, I got a message from Gail Seabrook, and she told me that Agnes wouldn't be coming this summer. Her health wasn't going to let her come. Instantly, I was stressed. It's like 1 month until camp, and we don't have a head cook. Gail would not commit at that point to filling the role. She didn't feel capable of being in charge. I'm not sure that I even really slept much that night. But Thankfully, Gail only made me sweat it out for one day. The very next day, she messaged me and said, no, she'd be willing to try being the head cook. Again, I didn't know what I was going to do, but God knew. Quite honestly, after those issues, camp went relatively smoothly. Like I said, we had a great summer. Our light program was led by Jared Clausen and Geralee Bernard again. They did a great job of teaching the young people how to study the Bible and the importance of serving. We had 8 young people complete the 3 weeks of light, 6 of whom were from Big Island Reserve. I think light maybe has changed a little bit over the years, but the goal is still the same, to train up Christian leaders in our community and in our churches and at camp. Each kid enters the light program from a different place and sometimes a lot of different struggles, but it's so amazing to watch God work and change their hearts and lives as they spend time studying, praying, and working together. DIY camp wasn't maybe as well attended as we would have liked, but we had a couple projects that were put together. The outside of the speaker cabin, aka the Vidal Villa, was updated with some wood siding, and the bathrooms in the girls' dorms were redone. We were encouraged and challenged from the word by Pastor Ginther. Now, I don't want to give you a play-by-play of each of the children's camp weeks, but I'm going to try and highlight a few things about them. Overall, staffing was really good. There was a few weeks where it was close, but I think that's pretty normal with camp. We had lots of great cabin leaders, number of them that were there for the whole summer. We were only short, I think, a couple throughout the whole summer. To my surprise a little bit, I think kitchen and dining hall staff was a little bit more of a struggle. But again, I don't think we ever went short in any week. God is good. Gail did a great job of running the kitchen. The food was great, as usual. Erwin was slowed a little bit because he had shoulder surgery in the spring, so he wasn't able to do as much as he would have liked. But his wisdom and presence is a real great asset at camp. He was able to do a little bit more as the summer went on, and he helped with several improvements, including the deck on the front of the Vidal Villa. All of our speakers did a great job sharing the truth of Jesus with the campers and challenging the ones who already knew Jesus to grow in their faith. Many encouraged the kids to learn verses, and some had prizes for the cabins who did the best. I love hearing the kids practicing their verses as they go around camp. It's really encouraging. Clint Zacharias took care of the sewer truck. That it might not sound like much, but that was a real blessing. I didn't have to worry. He pumped the sewer. He drove the truck. I never even, unless he was gone for a few days, and I would have to look after it. But that was just one thing that I didn't have to worry about at all, which was nice. Dalen Ariel did a great job in her first summer as program director. She kept the kids busy, but kind of at a laid-back sort of pace. And I really appreciated her ability to change things up if they weren't working out. She wasn't too stubborn in that, so that was good. This year we had about 408 kids go through camp, plus the lights, plus DIY campers, which brings the total to around 430, which would be up from, I think, 409 in 2017, and this number has, you know, continued to rise over the last number of years. And I know it's not all about numbers, but it is encouraging to know that so many kids are being ministered each summer. I believe God is working in the youth in our community and the surrounding area. As I've said, God continued to show me that He is in control. The first day of camp, this was pretty apparent. The kids had arrived and I was out in the field area feeling a little anxious about, you know, how the summer was going to go. But the gong went, the kids just dispersed, the leaders went. I just stood there by myself. I was like, I wasn't, you know, it wasn't needed. You know, it was a, kind of put things in perspective a little bit. God's got this. There are lots of touching moments throughout the summer that help remind me why I love being at camp. And often those moments come at the Thursday night campfire. If you've never been to one of those, I encourage you to stop in for a Thursday night. The kids have an opportunity to share what's on their hearts. One of those particular times from the summer stands out. There was a young boy, and I would say he was around 10 to 12 years old, and he got up and shared how thankful he was for what he had learned at camp about Jesus, and then went on to say that he was excited to pass that on to his family. You know, wow, that's encouraging. This young boy wants to witness to his family. That, you know, that's what camp's about, I think. Now, often these Thursday nights, kids get up and they say they're thankful for their friends or the food or, you know, all the fun they're having at camp, which is good. But sometimes, and more likely at a junior or a senior teen camp, the young people will really open up and share a lot about their hurts or their struggles or some of the painful things that have happened in their lives. It can be really hard to hear that. I know this year there was one week where there was a lot of tears, and it was hard to sit there and listen to all the pain that these kids are dealing with. But at the same time, it's also encouraging because you get to hear hope in their voices as they talk about camp and what it means to them. It continually reminds me of the importance of this ministry. So I want to thank you guys as a church for being a part of this ministry and what God is doing at Bethel Gospel Camp. So that kind of talked about, that's kind of my update part. Right, so now I'd like to, we're just gonna try and share from the word a little bit. So before we do that, let's just bow our heads and pray. Heavenly Father, you are a good God. Thank you for loving us so much. Thank you for what you've done on the cross for us, Lord. Thank you that we can come here this morning and openly worship you with our whole hearts and freely do this, Lord, without persecution and without fear. God, I thank you that you have built up Bethel Gospel Camp, Lord, and thank you for the work that you continue to do there each summer. Thank you for the people in this church that are willing to serve and with their time and their money and their prayers. And Lord, I just pray that as we dive into your word, Lord, that we will be open to learning this morning, Lord. I pray this in your name. Amen. So at camp, every morning, the staff get together and we have a staff meeting with devotions. And I don't think that should be probably not a surprise to people. But this past summer in our devotions, we would just work through different books of the Bible. And one of the books was 1 Peter, and that's where we're going to turn to this morning. So if you have your Bibles here, you have 1 Peter 4. I'm just going to read the first 11 verses of 1 Peter 4. Peter 4, 1 to 11. Therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude, because whoever suffers in the body is done with sin. As a result, they do not live the rest of their earthly lives for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. For you have spent enough time in the past doing what pagans choose to do, living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and detestable idolatry. They are surprised that you do not join them in their reckless, wild living, and they heap abuse on you. But they will have to give the account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this is the reason the gospel was preached even to those who are now dead, so that they might be judged according to human standards in regard to the body, but live according to God in regard to the Spirit. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind, so that you may pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others, as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. So these verses give us a number of instructions on how to live as Christians. This morning, I just want to focus on four points. Suffering, love, hospitality, and serving. Verse 1 opens with a reminder of Christ's suffering. Something I think we need to constantly be reminding ourselves of. Such intense and great suffering for us. Peter tells us to arm ourselves with the same attitude. I feel like his audience at the time would have had a greater understanding and ability to have an attitude of suffering than we do today, especially here in North America. It was an encouragement to his people to be prepared. They knew and experienced physical suffering and persecution consistently. I often wonder, what would I do in the face of persecution like that? Now, I want to say that I would remain strong in my faith, but honestly, I don't like pain. I'm kind of a wuss. I'm scared of needles. So, you know, makes me wonder. So how do we get to an attitude when we most likely will never physically suffer for Christ? How can we be prepared? Now, I understand this verse is talking about physical suffering, but I think the attitude is grown over time by our willingness to sacrifice for God. Our attitude towards suffering shows itself in what we are willing to give up. Our physical health and well-being is probably one of the most important things to us. And that's why it's so hard to give up. Most of us will never be asked to give it up. So look to other things as examples in our life, of like time and money. Both really important and both hard to let go of. We are often willing to help if we have the time or if we can afford it. But does our giving of time or money ever come at a cost? Is it actually a sacrifice if we give out of our excess? We all know the parable in Mark 12 of the poor lady who gave everything she had. That came at a cost. I don't think it's any different when we talk about our time. People often say they will help out if they have time, but are rarely willing to set aside or sacrifice things that they have planned. Sure, we can always say, well, I could have done something else with my money or been somewhere else with that time, but are we really sacrificing something important? Philippians 2:4 says, let each of you look not to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. In verse 2, it says, as a result, they do not live the rest of their earthly lives for their evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. So I mentioned earlier that Jared Clausen was a co-leader in our light program this summer. Now I asked Jared if I could talk about him. So Jared uses his 3 weeks of holiday time to be at camp. And that's his second time doing that. To me, that exemplifies sacrifice. He could easily say, you know, I only get a week off at a time, or, you know, I'm only off, what is it, Thursday to Sunday, I can't do it. But he gives up his holiday time to serve at camp, where, you know, he could say, well, I want to go on a holiday to somewhere else, Mexico, or somewhere, I don't know where Jared wants to go. But now, I understand that we're all not all called to use our holidays to serve, but I do believe we are all called to sacrifice. We need to be able to set aside our desires for the desires of God. If we are not prepared to sacrifice things in our life, how will we be able to physically suffer? The more we are able to let go of things of this world, I believe the easier it would be to suffer physical persecution for our faith, because we are already showing that willingness to give things up. I believe the willingness to sacrifice lends to an attitude of suffering. So the next point I want to talk about is something that we're all really familiar with. It's a foundation of our faith, love. We often say we need to love each other, we need to show others Christ's love. Verse 8 says, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. At camp, one of the primary things we want to do is show campers love. What I've been trying to work through this summer and last few months is, what does that look like? How is the love I show to someone different than the love of someone who doesn't believe in Christ? Or is there a difference? We could talk all day about the definition of love, and I don't want to get into all that, but I just want to bring up one little aspect. Love is more than being nice. Anyone can give someone a hug, or talk nicely to them, or help them out when they need a hand. You don't need to be a believer to do that. So I think it comes down to the second part, or second half of that verse. Love covers a multitude of sins. This speaks to an attitude of forgiveness in our hearts. Deep love for someone is more than just the surface. It forgives others when they wrong us. This love shows up even when people hurt us or are angry at us. This can be hard. If a kid at camp lashes out, you know, and that happens, how do I respond with Christ's love and not with hurt or anger back? You know, this summer I had a kid at camp, and he asked me if camp had a machine gun because he wanted to shoot me with it. How do I respond? It's so easy to be angry and upset and scold him. Rightfully, my response should be to instantly have forgiveness on my heart and thus truly love him. This is not natural. This is a love that comes from Christ. Verse 9 is a verse that kind of hits me in the gut a little bit, one that I think I need to read over a number of times throughout the year. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. I feel like that's something we've lost a little over the years. I know for myself, it's a real struggle. To host or to be hospitable to fellow believers, we need to make time. And we had talked about that already. I, like a lot of people, can be very busy, or at least feel that way. Often my Friday evenings or Sunday afternoons, I want to relax on the couch, watch some sports. I know there's been times when people have wanted to come over or even ask us out, and I'm like, oh man, I just want to relax. You know? But we are instructed to be hospitable. 3 John verse 8 says, we ought therefore to show hospitality to such people, so that we may work together for the truth. The body of believers needs to be built up, and what better way than to get together? If the only time we talk to believers is Sunday morning, then life, I think, is going to be tough. I don't think you guys are different than me, that we hear of Christians that are struggling, maybe in their marriage or family issues, or their job is tough. Often we think that all we can do is pray. And obviously there's nothing wrong with prayer. But sometimes I believe there's a call to action. We don't have the time to get into all these details on Sunday morning in the foyer, and probably don't even feel comfortable talking about a lot of this stuff. So getting together outside of our church becomes so important. It truly strengthens and encourages the body of Christ. Verse 10 brings us to our last point for this morning, serving. Verse 10 says, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. We are all called to serve. This verse doesn't say if you've been given a gift, you should use it. People sometimes fall back on the line, God can't use me, I got nothing to offer. But God created you. In 1 Chronicles 29, verse 8, David in his prayer to God says, everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand. God has given us each gifts, so if he has given them to us, he can definitely use us. The opportunities seem almost limitless when it comes to serving. Sunday school, youth group, kids club, Tuesday Night Live, camp. There's lots of roles within the church, a new youth center. We all have a role and a responsibility to serve in the body of Christ. So I encourage you, if you're not already serving in some aspect, to search out an area to see where God can use you and the gifts he's given you. And if you're already serving, be encouraged by your faithfulness. Galatians 6:9 says, let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. Now, I know that might not have been the most encouraging message you've heard, maybe more on the challenging side, but I want to close with encouraging you guys. As a member of an ownership church of Bethel, you are part of something that exemplifies these characteristics. You are part of the sacrifice, and Kent talked about that this morning, the sacrifice, the love, the hospitality, and the service that is a huge part of the camp ministry. I encourage you to continue to let God lead you in these areas as a church and as a believer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word and how we can learn from it, how it guides us as believers, Lord. God, I pray that we are continually seeking your word and what you'd have us do. And God, thank you, God, that, again, that you love us so much that even when we don't do these things the way you'd want us to do, you still love us and you forgive us, Lord. I just pray that you'll be with us as we go from here this morning, Lord. I pray this in your name. Amen. Thank you.